Hi, listeners. You can now listen to this Conmunity podcast production ad-free on Apple Podcasts. Simply hit the subscribe button in Apple Podcasts now. Have you ever felt that pang of disappointment when you couldn't add a ticket to your collection because it was digital? Or maybe you just lost it? Well, StubForge.com is here to change that. Imagine this. Tickets that not only look but feel like the real deal. Because each ticket from StubForge is printed on the same quality stock that Ticketmaster uses and printed with genuine ticket printers. It's like holding a piece of the concert, the game, or the show right in your hands. But StubForge isn't just about replacing tickets. With the easy-to-use interactive designer, you can create custom tickets for anything, from concerts to sports games, pregnancy announcements, or parties. Why not make your invitations stand out with tickets that are as unique as your event? And if you're trying to complete a back catalogue of missing tickets, StubForge offers bulk discounts to make it both easy and affordable. With StubForge, you can once more give your loved ones physical tickets and see their eyes light up instantly at the best gift you can give. So whether you're looking to reignite your ticket collection, craft the perfect gift, or send the coolest invites, head over to StubForge.com. Start creating today and see how StubForge makes every ticket a story worth saving. Visit StubForge.com and start making tickets today. Hi, listeners. If you're looking for your next true crime binge, stay tuned because I have just the ticket. Just because the police can't solve a murder doesn't mean other people won't find someone to blame. In the newest upcoming season of Witnessed, Devil in the Ditch, journalist Larison Campbell returns to her Mississippi hometown to re-examine one of its most notorious unsolved cold cases, the murder of her grandmother, Presh. She was killed on Friday the 13th in her parlour. The likely murder weapon? A brass candlestick.
The last time I saw Presh with my eyes, I was giving her a hug in her driveway. My great-aunt's experience was very different. She was at the crime scene.
Do you remember the last time you saw her?
The day she was killed.
In fact, she found her sister's body. She and Presh were close, especially in terms of geography. They lived on the same street, just a couple of blocks apart. They spoke on the phone daily and saw each other almost as often. That day they had plans. They were
going to see this beauty parlor operator,
a hairdresser at the salon whose husband had just died. My great-aunt says she had been expecting Presh to pick her up around 3:30 that afternoon. So earlier that morning, she gets some errands done. She runs down to Daddle's, a dress shop, to pick up a blouse, then swings by the grocery store next to it. It all takes about 45 minutes. When she gets home, she makes a few calls, then eats lunch with her son, who lives with her. When she's done eating, she calls Presh, who doesn't answer, which my aunt thought was odd enough that she tried Presh and some of Presh's friends several more times over the next 3 hours trying to track her down.
And what'd y'all do in between lunch and sitting on the couch around 3?
I got ready for her to come get me. And I waited and waited for her to pick me up. And she didn't come and didn't come.
She doesn't show.
And I said, I think I'm going to go over to the house and see what's holding her up.
So Presh's sister says she tells her son to wait at the house in case Presh happens to arrive while she's gone to check on her.
So I went over there, and she was lying on the floor with a rag over her face.
She finds Presh's face is covered with a dish towel. For a minute, Presh's sister says she's confused. Is she doing some type of workout?
Big on exercising, you know, if you want to call it that. And I said, what in life are you doing on the floor? And I took the cloth off of her face. And she was dead. I was so stunned. You can imagine. And I called the ambulance service. And I said, my sister has been killed. And she is on the floor. Come immediately.
I know it was in the evening time and we were about to get off. And it was a Friday.
Ricky Spratlin, now retired from the Greenville Police Department, then Lieutenant Chief of Detectives, and one of the first officers on the scene.
It was really stormy outside. It was terrible.
Precious House sat on two corner lots right in the center of Greenville. Her driveway also ran the length of the property, making it more or less a shortcut between the neighborhood and a busy four-lane street. We could sit at the kitchen table and watch cars cut through all the time. A thicket of eleagnas and hydrangeas made it easy to forget how centrally located you were. But from the outside, it was probably the most visible and accessible home in Greenville.
They've been to direct me out to the back of the house, show me what they first found. I noticed that there was a lawn chair with a newspaper and a coffee cup just laying there. Okay, so then they took me into the sunroom, which nothing was locked. And that's when I saw him. She was laying on the floor. She suffered a blunt force trauma right on the front forehead area.
The hole it left was bad enough that officers first thought she'd been shot. They began to examine her surroundings. Most of her house appeared in order. A few feet behind her body was the breakfast room, where she displayed a lot of her silver and china. That room was totally undisturbed. The only sign of disarray was her purse. It was open on the table above her, its contents spilling onto a wooden chair below. Coins, an address book, an empty bank envelope. Investigators began to look for a murder weapon right away.
Well, he looked everywhere, trying to find what the weapon would have been, but she had a lot of stuff in that house.
Presh wasn't much of a housekeeper, and she loved antiques. Every surface was covered with something glass or brass or silver.
I knew she had a lot of candle holders and things around, and I looked at one. I said, it could have been used. And we went ahead and collected it and sent it off.
Friends and neighbors had started gathering in the street outside Precious House, and my family began making their way to Greenville.
Well, my first reaction when I heard about Precious' murder was that your daddy would never be okay.
My mom. She and my dad were living 2 hours away in Jackson when Presh was killed.
Pretty much a blur.
My dad again.
I can remember your mother saying you loved her so much. So I at that point, I think we both decided we needed to pack a suitcase because we were going to be there for several days. I remember pulling up there and there were lots of cars. And I got out and somebody grabbed me.
And told him Precious' sister was over at one of the neighbor's houses. She wasn't doing well.
It's pretty much a basket case.
She was kind of shaking. She looked the most nervous I've ever seen her look.
She had just found Presh dead.
I mean, it flashes in your brain. I mean, there you are. And you keep seeing the body. You know, whereas we just miss her. We don't have that grisly, horrifying image stuck in our brains.
And the way her body was left was a big clue for detectives.
She was placed where she wouldn't look so bad. Her feet were together, and there was a dish rag over her face. That tells me right there, whoever did it knew her and couldn't stand to see her looking like that. That's some of the training I've had. If you see something like that, that's going to be your first clue to keep in your notes and your mind.
From Campside Media and Sony Music Entertainment, Witnessed Devil in the Ditch is now available. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts to binge all episodes now, or listen weekly wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up on 5 Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not. It's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts, because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5 Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.
I want to take a moment to tell you about my podcast, Carol Costello Presents Blind Rage. In 1984, a woman named Phyllis Cottle was abducted in broad daylight, tortured, and left to die in a burning car in Akron, Ohio. At the time, I was a rookie reporter covering this horrific story. Since then, I've reported every kind of crime imaginable. I've been able to leave most of them at work, but not this one, the one that buried itself under my skin and stayed put. Phyllis Cottle was a badass woman, and I want to tell you her story. A production of Evergreen Podcasts and signature title of the Killer Podcast Network, you can find Carol Costello Presents Blind Rage wherever you get your podcasts. Discover more great true crime and paranormal programming at killerpodcast.com.